everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. They extended the excessive heat watch now through the weekend, Tom. Come on, this is enough. 8 or 9 days? This just doesn't happen in Tucson, Arizona. Maybe 1 or 2 days of over 110, but, I mean, it goes on and on.
Well, I'm not sure, because on the National Weather Service website, the NOAA website, it says the heat warning is in effect till tomorrow, 9 p.m. What have you heard?
No, today is the 18th, and that says, no, today is the 19th, isn't it? No, today's the 18th. It says extended. Yeah.
Never mind.
Okay, yeah, it is extended through Sunday. Today is Friday, June 18th, 2021. It's Buckmaster on the radio. We're into, what, 11th year? 10 and a half years right here on the radio. 22 years on Channel 6. So, hey, that's a lot of time here in town. We have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. Also, a very active Facebook page. You can message me if you have a question for Congressman Grijalva. You can also email me at bill@buckmastershow.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our media partners, thank you to Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com. Dan Shear, thank you. Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Jim Ninsel, who is with me in studio for the first time in a long time, from Tucson Local Media Group. And Jim, your portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Did I forget someone?
Foothills News? Do you have Foothills in there?
Yeah.
Nope, you got them.
Yeah,
all.
Foothills
half
News.
Dozen, half yeah. dozen paper. I'm a mogul.
Nice.
A mogul.
Yeah, nice little portfolio. Our Friday Focus interview, United States Representative Raul Grijalva, Democrat representing Arizona's 3rd Congressional District. My goodness, Congressman, it was about 20 years ago that you resigned from the Board of Supervisors to seek office in Arizona's newly created 7th Congressional District. That was a 9-candidate primary, and I know very well because I hosted the official congressional debate for you and 8 other candidates.
Yeah, I remember.
And I think
you had
Jim,
bleachers,
you were there.
I think.
Yes, we had bleachers.
It was like a baseball
we
team.
We had bleachers, had everybody up there, and it was an hour show. So let's see. You got 9 candidates. I think, Congressman, you were given about 3 or 4 minutes to make your pitch.
Yep. I think I think you mandated that there be a 20-second response to every question.
Yes, that's right. There had to be a, like, 15 to 20-second response to every question.
Which was good, because there was a lot of yes and no's.
Yeah, but it all worked out for you because you were outspent 3-1, but you were elected with a 20-point victory, and the rest is history. Congressman Grijalva is chair of the House Natural Resources Committee, and he is also a longstanding member of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. How are you doing, Congressman?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. And, you know, Mona and I are privileged. We have 5 grandbabies now, and it's all good. And our oldest grandchild, Adelina, Adelita's baby, is now going to be a freshman at Pueblo. And so we're, you know, it's good to watch the world turn. It's good.
Are you happy the way Adelita's settling in?
Yeah, you know, I did tell Mr. Huckleberry and members of the board that were there when I was there, Sharon in particular and others, that Adelita was nothing like me, and that was a different personality, so whatever worked with me is not going to work with her. So I think. Belatedly, they're figuring that out. But but yeah, she's her own person.
How'd the president do over in Europe?
I thought he did well. I think it was about reestablishing our country as a preeminent nation and power in the world. I thought the issue of tackling the vaccination process for third world nations and poor nations in particular was a good initiative. And the meeting with Putin, I think that showed strength, but it also showed confidence in the sense that you don't have to coddle anybody. You deal with him as equals. I think some people were upset when he mentioned the fact that we're two powers in this world. The fact is that that's true, but I like the fact that we're re-engaged, and the role of the United States needed to be that. We needed to be seen as a nation leader as opposed to sometimes, you know, the dog does wag the tail, and I think reestablishing that is important.
Here's Jim Nitzel.
Hey, Congressman, I'm wondering, you know, you have redistricting underway in a lot of, in all the states. The president's party normally loses seats in the in the midterm election. Do you have a sense that you have a ticking clock right now while you have control of the House, the White House, and the Senate, although just barely? And do you think there's an urgency to get things done?
Oh, I think there was an urgency anyway, and I think getting things done. And navigating, you know, I appreciate that Senator Manchin has come up with a middle ground position on the voting rights issue. It's not the bill we sent, but it does offer constitutional protections that were taken away on voting rights. It does offer same day registration, and it does enhance early voting for that 15-day period. Not what we wanted in terms of disclosure, financial disclosure in particular, et cetera. But if we can move that forward, and that would supersede many of the suppression legislation that we're seeing in states like Georgia, Arizona, Texas, et cetera, then that's good. And so that's some progress there. But that, you know, that filibuster issue, we've passed a lot. We've been 11 good pieces of legislation that are there. The jobs plan, the family plan, that those investments are in the Senate. And at some point, it's navigating the filibuster rule is going to be key as to how we deal with that urgency. But the urgency is there. If we are to retain our majorities, and I'll speak only for the House, then there has to also be some action and on taking on some of those pieces of legislation that are out there. Absolutely. I think that's we have to run on some action on climate change. We have to run on some action on defending the our democracy, and we have to run on the economic side, the infrastructure issues in terms of job creation and getting people back to work with good paying jobs. And so, yeah, I mean, it's important. The administration can do so much. And then the rest of it has to be codified into law and made law. And that's where we're at right now.
Are you disappointed with Senator Sinema?
Yeah. Yes, I am. I think that resting the whole issue on the question of the filibuster, that because of bipartisanship, we need to retain it. You know, that would be an acceptable argument if there was a give and take in the middle ground, and that there was negotiations going on. But, you know, senators have said that, you know, that it wasn't a McConnell this time, but it was another senator, I forget his name, saying essentially we want to make Biden a one-term president. So that means he gets nothing done. And so you have to, if you look at the things that we're confronting, certainly on the investment side, then you begin to question whether this hard and fast commitment to bipartisanship, interpreted it as we have to retain the filibuster, is really bipartisanship. That's the question. That's where I'm disappointed, in that sense that there's a history to this, and if we're going to use reconciliation, let's use it, but we have to get some things done. And so the disappointment is holding true and fast to a bipartisan concept, that quite honestly doesn't exist. Why don't we have a bipartisan commission studying what happened January 6th? Okay. And so at some point, those start to have diminishing results. And what it does is that it hurts an agenda from getting done and hopefully retaining our majorities. And the other thing that it does is that the cynicism that we see among voters increases because everything ends up in an abyss in the United States Senate. And it's that filibuster rule. And I at some point the urgency of an issue kind of demands that you deal with it and if you have to oppose it.
Can you break your diet, do you think, to go up to Mona's Danish Bakery, my favorite bakery, Congressman? You have lost some weight. You're looking really good. But it's time to tell my listeners, Congressman, about, you know, my favorite bakery.
I would break whatever forced diet I'm on.
Yes, to have one of the pieces of the Danish Kringle, that wonderful Scandinavian pastry. Would you go that light and tasty multi-layered pastry? What filling would you prefer? Would you go with the almond or with the raspberry or the blueberry?
I'd probably go blueberry.
You would go the blueberry with a nice slice of that Danish Kringle. I'm making our Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass very hungry. Jim, you like bakery goods as well.
Oh, Mona's. There's just no better. Paul.
No, and, there isn't.
I would probably go raspberry.
You would?
Yeah.
Well, Steve, the chief baker and owner, would. That's one of his, that's in the portfolio of flavors. Mona's Danish Bakery. It's open right now, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Find out what all the excitement is about. We send a lot of listeners up there to Mona's. If you don't believe me, go up there tomorrow morning for breakfast. They open at 6:30, and you will see a lot of people, and a lot of people heard about Mona's right here on Buckmaster. We'll be back with Congressman Grijalva and Jim Nintzel of the Tucson Weekly right after this.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com. Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The Friday Focus interview today, United States Representative Raul Grijalva, a Democrat representing Arizona's 3rd Congressional District. Jim Nintzel is here, the executive editor of the Tucson Weekly. There was an article in the New York Times, what if the military congressman starts to doubt our elections? And they were basically the writer was pointing out, you know, this is a two-way street about these elections. I mean, many of the Republicans trying to say we don't need this commission to look at what happened on January 6th. But, you know, how are Republicans going to feel? I mean, how are any candidates going to feel if voters just start doubting all of our elections? That's the bottom line.
Absolutely. It's the underpinning of a democracy. And if you don't have, if voters don't have their own internal security that when they go in, cast, win or lose, their vote got counted, and that's just the way it breaks out. If that underpinning of security,
it's all over. And if they don't believe,
and if they don't believe that any election is fair, then I think then that whole underpinning of democracy begins to get in question. What has happened with the big lie, what has happened with continuing to call the illegit, what's happening with the circus of an audit that's going on here in Arizona, what is happening without wanting to fully on a, and you know, and my Republican colleagues in the House asked for a bipartisan commission. Equal numbers. So mm-hmm. That's what they got.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets voted. And my point being that if we don't fully understand and if we don't fully get the information and the facts out to the American people, then it's subject to interpretation. And the interpretation that we're hearing is that everything is fraudulent. Democracy doesn't count. We have an illegitimate president. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you have now created this doubt that I think infects everything else you do. And mm-hmm. and that's what's happening. You see that infection kind of spreading in its own way. It's really sad. And I worry about that more than many of the other issues that we're confronting, because we can't confront the climate crisis if people don't believe in their democracy. We can't invest in the American people in infrastructure if they don't believe in their democracy. We can't have a fair and equal judicial system if they don't believe in their democracy.
It sounds like this is at your top of the agenda.
This is the big one.
This is the big one.
We called it HR1 because that's what we thought was the top of the agenda. Hopefully Manchin's come up with some middle ground that will give him the liberty to vote and then give him the liberty to override a filibuster attempt.
All right, let's bring Jim Nintzel into the conversation.
You've mentioned climate change a couple of times, and clearly it's a little warm here in Arizona this week. What do you see as some of the key steps that you think can get through Congress in order to deal with reducing greenhouse gases and otherwise combating climate change?
I think Congress has one level of control, very direct control, and that's over its own public assets, public lands and waters. And the commitment to by 2040, 2050, to be at zero emissions, to create that balance, I think is doable. And that doesn't mean closing everything down. It means that that we are going to hit that goal, and that involves bringing in oceans, that enhancing alternatives. I think all those are doable. I think it gets a little, I think the difficult part will come as we go forward. And that's why this infrastructure is so important. If you're going to alternatives, and whether it is electric, whether it is different energy sources, and they're vital to transportation, they're vital to the movements of goods and services in this country, then you have to have the grid and the infrastructure set up for that. And we don't have it right now. That's why that's important. And I think the other thing we need to do is to realize that this is consequential. What we're seeing here with the mega drought, that's what it is.
20 plus years.
It continues. And look at us grappling here in Arizona and in the basin states with regard to what is happening with the Colorado River water, its depletion, its subsidence as we go forward. And we continue to pretend that it's everything will be okay. And then it's going to hit us that we must do something. And then the steps become more severe, more divisive, and more difficult.
Because we hadn't taken care of it.
Because we haven't done anything. We can't, you know, we have counties and regions that are not under any management requirements in terms of groundwater depletion. Pinal being a good example, and Pinal running out of water. Parts of Cochise running out of water. And so the list goes on. And I think that for us, the key resource here is water and how you protect that. And the role that I think Interior is going to play and the committee is going to play is I think we have to begin to call together the meetings of these basin states and not just talk about recycling and how we conserve, but talk about the very, very important stakeholders that are part of it. Is it worth it to say that we can deplete groundwater, redirect CAP water for an extraction operation, i.e. mining, that sucks up more than a small community, and yet not do anything about that and still allow that to happen without any other restrictions? I think that's the big call.
When you mention mining, it brings right to mind Rosemont, which you've been a staunch opponent of, and that the Trump administration helped green light, move that process along with some pretty important permitting. Do you think there's any recourse at this point to take those permits back?
I think more and more people, Nevada, which is a mining state, Arizona to some extent, not what it used to be, but a mining state. There's more New Mexico. There's more and more of a demand now from those states in terms of water utilization, which wasn't the top layer issue 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Now it is, along with what it does to air quality. But now water availability and water access and usage now become a bigger issue. And I think that needs to be interjected into the conversation as well. There's still other issues winding themselves through the courts with regard to Rosemont. I think this administration is taking a whole different approach to it in terms of reopening the studies, insisting on more, because it's a consequential decision we can't take back once it's done. And so I'm glad it's slowed down for now, and I hope that slowdown indicates that there's going to be a whole rethinking of what that decision-making process was, because I think much was left out. Indigenous issues and concerns were left out, water was left out, and the permitting process was fast-tracked. And I want to go back and make sure that every dot was dotted, every I was dotted, and every T was crossed.
I want to ask you an important question about water. The sustainability of kicking the can down the road rather than facing the reality of what we're dealing with here in Arizona with a prolonged drought, the increasing temperatures. Right now, people are continuing, not as many, but they continue to move to the Phoenix area and to Tucson. Can you see, if we don't do something, can you see the day, and not that day not too long ago, maybe a few years, where that in-migration is going to go the other way? They're going to leave Arizona.
I think, you know, Jim and I know about the growth wars in this part of the state. You know, there's no growth, there's managed growth. We're okay. Let's just grow as fast as we can because it's vital to our economy. I think there's a lot of second guessing going on right now, and necessarily so, about what local management and growth policies are now and what they need to be in the future. Because it's about access and availability, and both of those are going to get more and more in question as we go forward. It's not I have mine and nobody else should have it, but how do you prioritize? How do you look at infill rather than other directions? So the whole discussion about managed growth that kind of got not sidetracked, but you know, the Sonoran Conservation Plan and the areas that it set aside kind of muted that whole debate for a long time. It's back.
It's back, and it's back on the front burner.
And I think local supervisors and local city councils are going to confront that. And city councils, and like in Tucson, who are the rate keepers, and how are consumers going to feel if their rates start to increase in order to create sustainability, and they still see no end in sight to the drawdown on our water.
Jim, before we go to you, we've got a caller who's been waiting. Matt would like to speak. Gentlemen, put your headset back on so we can hear Matt's question for you. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah. Also, water, Congressman Grijalva, and thank you for everything you're doing to protect our water resources. There is a plan the Salt Lake Tribune recently about a plan involving a 140 mile pipeline to take water from Lake Powell to St. George in Utah. It's also part of that whole CUP stuff with Utah. That allotment seems to be in question. And my concern is anything that takes away water from Lake Powell at this time. Any ideas about that you could share with us? Thank you.
Thank you for that. And, you know, the seven basin states, but the principal five basin states that rely on the Colorado River have a deadline of to come up and within another 4 or 5 years with an overall plan. There's an interim plan that was put in place because of the drought. 2 years later, those projections now seem underestimated, the severity of what's going on. And the Utah and Nevada, Southern California, Arizona, and New Mexico, and to some extent Colorado, I think Bureau of Reclamation, who has the responsibility for that surface water on the Colorado, which is the source, is going to try, I think sooner than later, it's not going to wait for this 4-year period, is put together those states together. Because, you know, Arizona made some cuts in this last round in terms of conservation, and other states didn't. And we have to make sure that this is a shared burden. And right now, this is where the delegations of each respective state become very important. This is where the role that we have and resources become very important. Myself and Mr. Gallego from Arizona, and Mr. Gosar's on that committee as well. That's where the delegations, for once, you know, we have our ideological differences and sometimes... and perhaps even some mental differences with regard to how we approach our jobs. But on this is, if there is an issue of bipartisanship, this is a survival issue. And as our delegation, I think we have to understand that this protecting our resources, our allotment is going to be critical going forward. This is not about fighting each battle with Utah or with Nevada, but this one in particular, to jump ahead of any process by Utah is something that many of us find wrong and out of sequence, which what needs to be done. Utah is not the only player in this decision. As I mentioned, the other states are as well. And Arizona, I think, is the key state in the sense that the Colorado River is part and parcel of what the state is about. And so I think that 140 mile issue is an overreach, and we feel that that Utah and their demand at this point has to go in the hopper with every other demand from all of us, including the state of Arizona. And
yeah,
hopefully we'll be able to engage with the governor's office and his committee, and he expands the number of stakeholders, so it's not just the traditional development community, mining community, extraction community players, but that you have the urban needs, conservation needs, and rural needs and indigenous needs that have to be at that table too if we're going to come up with a plan for Arizona, and in retrospect set the tone for what that plan looks for all the basin states. But yeah, that's an overreach on the part of Utah.
Jim, do you have a quick question? We are out of time.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Well, I know, it goes very quickly.
I would ask, you know, I'm sure you were delighted by the Biden administration's decision to halt the wall construction, but do you want to see the wall come down in areas like the San Pedro River beyond that? Do you think we should be tearing down sections of the wall?
Besides stop paying for it, which we urged. The other thing we urged the administration to do is now take the time to do an analysis of what has been done, what effect it has had environmentally, indigenous, cultural resources, economic, and in those areas. And then we talk about remediation, replacement, and essentially, in some cases, and San Pedro being a good one, the springs near the Autumn Reservation on public land, removal. I think we're down to that point, and it's become political symbolism, but as a function, as a sum zero wall that is going to stop all unauthorized entry, is going to stop the running of people smuggling, it's going to stop drug smuggling, it's going to stop, that zero sum game is never going to happen.
All right.
And so we need to look at what we did and remediate what we did.
Now, will you be standing for re-election in 2022, Congressman Raul Grijalva?
Yeah, Jim, yes. I think Jim put it well. I said that there's an urgent and risky time. We have a majority now. We might not have a majority, but I feel that we're going to retain our majority. I'm going to work really hard toward that and work hard on my re-election. I don't know what the new district will look like, but more importantly, if there is a shift in the majority, I would like to be in a position now that I have learned what I've learned to be able to continue to be there and protect the things that are good and keep the worst from happening on some occasions.
All right, now we're going to let you go so you can get up to Mona's Danish Bakery.
Thank you.
And bring the family a beautiful Danish Kringle for Saturday morning breakfast.
That does sound good. Thank you, sir. It's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Congressman Raul Grijalva, very much a candidate for re-election in 2022. Jim Nenzel, stick around. We're going to talk a little bit after we take the break on the Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley and on the web at noblehops.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our thanks to Congressman Raul Grijalva for our Friday Focus interview. And Jim Nintzel is with me, the executive editor of the Tucson Weekly. Congressman Grijalva, very much a candidate in 2022, Jim Nintzel.
Yep, he's going to go for another term. So, you know, as he said, we don't know what that district will look like, but I don't think you can shift it too dramatically to make it a competitive district.
And front page of the New York Times today, with the midterms in sight, crisis, put that in quotes, is the watchword for Republicans. The whole deal, as they say, a lesson of the Trump era, outrage works. And all you have to do is look up to Maricopa County with this quote, recount. What are we, 7 or 8 weeks into this thing?
Yeah, I believe
couple
at
of
least.
Months.
Yeah. They've been, and they expected to be able to do it a lot sooner. I don't think they really understood what they were biting off when they said that they were going to count 2.1 million ballots by hand. And, you know, these ballots have been through a machine count, obviously.
Right.
And then
that was the
there were audits where you take batches and you count the batch by hand and you run them through the machine and see if it matches up. And I think what most people will tell you about a hand count is it's going to be less accurate than a machine count, especially this, because what you're doing is taking a ballot, you're putting it on a lazy Susan, you're spinning it around, you have three observers who are supposed to write down who they think won, and then there could be differences between them, and if two of the three say that it was a Trump vote, then it goes to Trump, and if two of the three say it was a Biden vote, it goes to Biden, which, you know, I think if you had an error rate of just one per those 100, you're getting into a bigger error rate than the actual difference between the two of them in Maricopa County. So I don't know that we're really going to be able to trust these numbers. I think the fact that it's being done by a firm that's never done this before, called the Cyber Ninjas, questions the credibility right out the door. And we're going to see what their findings are. But we already had the false finding where they came out and claimed that an entire database had been erased falsely and had to backtrack on that. But even before they had a chance to backtrack, former President Trump was tweeting it out that databases were erased and this was a totally fraudulent election. And that's, you know, what the congressman was talking about earlier about you have Republicans racing around saying that the election's illegitimate and then saying they had to pass these voter suppression laws in order to restore the faith of people in the elections that they themselves have destroyed. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens with their results, but I'm almost certain they'll say there was something wrong because that's why they're there to do that.
A lot of people in Tucson were hoping the University of Arizona would mandate COVID shots for all the returning students. The governor's office basically has overruled ASU, NAU, and UA in protocols for returning students, saying you don't have to wear a mask on campus and you don't have to have a COVID shot.
We have not been one of the best states in dealing with COVID. We were twice hotspots across the globe.
Worldwide hotspot twice.
Governor Ducey stepped in the way of allowing the CDC to come in here and set up clinics for vaccinations in low-income and minority neighborhoods. I mean, there have been so many outrageous things the Ducey administration has done through the course of this, and yet we're now in a situation where ASU first came out with this policy. They said you either get a shot and show us you had a shot, or you have to wear masks and get tested twice a week.
And that was, I believe,
either or.
Yes, it was. That came out on, I think it was Tuesday, and within hours, the governor said no.
None of that. All, you know, the universities can check vaccinations for mumps and measles and these other diseases, but for some reason, asking to get a shot against a pandemic, which is mutating, which you want to stop this thing before the mutations get ahead of the vaccines, right? So the more people who are either vaccinated or being tested to make sure they don't have the COVID, it makes perfect sense to me. And this, I think what Ducey's doing is he's pandering to the base of the party, which is anti-vaccine and anti-mask, and he's trying to score points with them because they're very unhappy with some of the ways he's handled this whole thing while it's been rolling out. So, it's a situation where the governor is going to pander for the future of his own political career at the risk of allowing COVID to continue spreading on our university
and
campus.
What is that future for Governor Ducey? What in the world? He's not running. He can't run for re-election. So what's he looking at?
The common rumor is that he's interested in the White House. It's very odd to even look at the Republican field right now because Trump, you know, may run again. So he's kind of freezing out the rest of the field outside of Chris Christie, who says he'd run even if Trump was
regardless,
in there.
Right.
But everybody else is like, you know, bowing down to Trump and waiting to make their decisions and until he makes a decision. So I think, but Governor Ducey, I think, would love to run for president in 2024 or possibly 2028 once we see what the landscape looks like. But I think that's where his ambitions are. He backed out of the idea of running for U.S. Senate. And, of course, we've seen a lot of announcements in that field lately, as well as governor.
But Matt Salmon announcing for governor?
Matt Salmon, of
that's
course.
That's a name from the past.
We saw him run, 20 years ago, right?
In
2022.
And 20 years ago, that's right.
Lost to Janet Napolitano.
That's right. Right.
By a very narrow margin. He's very close to state representative U.S. Representative Andy Biggs, Matt's been kind of a mentor to him. And you know where Andy Biggs is on the political spectrum. So I think it's going to be real interesting to watch all of these guys move to the right and somehow get enough momentum to beat a former TV anchor Yeah. Who, apparently.
From Fox and Phoenix.
From Fox and Phoenix, who probably.
She felt she needed to run for governor, so she resigned from Fox.
Had a calling, evidently.
there you go.
And this is fascinating to watch her jump into this race with no political experience, but tremendous name ID in the Phoenix area. And she's also, you know, really playing up to this whole QAnon conspiracy stuff and all the rest of that. So, you know, we'll see just how off-kilter these Republican primaries begin, but I don't think you're going to see too many moderate Republicans, or at least Republicans who are going to run on a moderate platform. I think it's all going to be about audits and conspiracies and a lot of COVID vaccinations and how bad they are and how they magnetize your forehead.
What a wacky race 2022 is going to be.
It truly is.
And this whole conspiracy thing gaining more and more ground.
Yeah,
crazy.
People are buying into some pretty crazy stuff right now, and unfortunately, the people who used to be responsible leaders in the Republican Party have decided to get on the bandwagon and feed it instead of going against it. Unlike the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, who have actually shown some real political courage.
And C.J. Carmarthen, the reason for not mandating the COVID shots, somehow I guess they feel the FDA calls the COVID shot an emergency use authorization.
Yes, well.
And so it's not a real, firm deal.
Well, you know, the governor felt it was a firm enough deal to hop in line and get his shot. And
early on, right?
We have seen very few breakthrough cases. And the problem is with the disease, people are like, why do I need to get a shot if you got a shot?
Yeah.
It's because the disease mutates as it moves through people.
Get a shot.
You don't want to be that mutation that actually breaks through the virus.
Hey, Jim.
Or vaccine.
Good to see you again in person, in studio. Thank you, sir.
It's lovely to see you and the congressman. Thanks so much for inviting me down.
Thank you very much. Weekend Watch is coming up with Matt Russell. Matt Russell of Inside Tucson Business. And Jim, Matt tells me now his column, his food and beverage column, will now be appearing weekly in the weekly.
Well, we're going to use it in the weekly.
Yeah.
I don't know that he only does it every other week.
Yeah.
For Inside Tucson Business.
You have to get him to do it every week.
So I can't, I'd have to run the same one twice in order to
run it up the flagpole. You're the guy. You're the executive.
We definitely had it up this week. He was talking about the raw bar, the crudo bar.
Cool.
At Flora's Market Run.
We'll hear from him next. Thanks.
Yeah.
MedCare to You is a new Tucson-based concierge telemedicine urgent care, specializing in caring for our patients in the comfort of your location. We deliver your prescriptions and even provide in-person visits with our dedicated staff. It's convenient, quick, private, and your personal information is always protected. Find out more at MedCare2UAZ.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust. by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where it's going to be about 20 degrees cooler today over in Silver City, where it's 90 degrees right now, high about 93, and we're going to be about 113, so figure it out. A good excuse to hit the car and jump in the car, take the three-hour drive east of Tucson to Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. Here he is, the longtime host of Weekend Watch, award-winning Tucson publicist, inside Tucson business, food and beverage columnist, and as we just heard from Jim Nintzel, the inside Tucson business food and beverage column by Matt Russell will now be appearing also in the Tucson Weekly. Congratulations, Mr. Russell.
Well, thank you so much. Always great to share these columns on my culinary and cocktail experiences with the broader number of publications. It's a thrill and an honor.
I can't believe I'm running out of time very quickly, so let's quickly get into Renee's, the reopening of Dine In at Renee's.
For the first time in over a year, the dining room is open. Now, this reopen comes with a name change. You might be remembering that she's Renee's Organic Oven for years, but
sure,
you're still going to see all of the favorite dishes on the award-winning menu at Renee's, from pizzas and pastas and everything in between, plus some creative cocktails that round out the Renee's experience. She's still on Tanqueverty and Sabino Canyon Road. Reservations for dine-in are required. Renee'sTucson.com for all the info.
Any news on the reopening of the Gallery of Food?
Absolutely. It's a big grand reopening party at Gallery of Food, full-service catering company on Fort Lowell near Tucson Boulevard. Festivities get underway on Sunday at noon with tours and live music, delicious snacks. Their produce program and their gourmet cheese program, Bill, are making news all over town, so you got to get over there and check it out. They opened quietly a couple of months ago, as you know, but the big day has arrived, and the red carpet rolls out this Sunday for their official grand opening.
Couple of quick picks for Father's Day.
Yeah. How about Feast on Speedway? Chef Doug Levy is doing seared sea scallops over a lemon spoon bread with prosciutto ribbons. You know, you can't get good prosciutto ribbons these days, so good for him. And then Chef Travis Peters up at the Parish and Oracle, he's doing a smoked short rib with a roasted bone marrow barbecue sauce and pimento cheese tater tots. Wherever you go, reservations are real strongly suggested. Let's all enjoy doting on Dad this Sunday.
And in the column?
Yeah, I tell a rather raw story, Bill, about the Crudo Bar at one of Tucson's newest restaurants. The rewards of raw are very real, so check out my story in this week's Inside Tucson Business and the Tucson Weekly.
Have a great weekend. Have a great weekend, everybody.